So even though I'm speaking on the fourth subject of Advent today, that doesn't mean that Christmas is still to come. So you guys don't get to do it again. Sorry.
Oh, but it is to come again.
Well, not in the next week. Yeah. Unlock the screen. Here we go. So the fourth topic of the fourth week of Advent is traditionally love. And I know John spoke on this on the fourth Sunday of Advent when I was ill. But we talked this week and we thought I'd circle back and still cover the what I was going to do in the message in the series that I was had been working on. And so a recap, especially since it's been a few weeks. The theme this week is love. Love is found in the Bible more than 500 times, the word love, throughout the Old and New Testament. It's one of the most used words throughout the Bible. It's very important, especially in our Christian walk, to understand and to be involved in love in our lives in the very different ways that we can be. Now, I want to remind you of what Advent is. As we've talked about in the other 3 weeks, Advent is this duality of walking between remembering the birth of Jesus as his first coming. And then there's this strange thing that's been around since the very early church that we are to remember his second coming as if it has already happened, knowing that it is yet still in the future. And so it is meant to be actually a strange time and a time that is odd for us to kind of understand the first and the second and remembering them both. And through that, Christ in the first week of Advent came the first time and proved that he is true to his word. And so through his actions, teaches us hope. And that hope points toward his second coming. And so we know we can hope for it and that it will happen and have hope in that because he was true to his word the first time. The second week of Advent points to peace and how through the hope of Jesus and through his life showing us what peace can be and giving us a taste of what peace can be, yet leaving us on a world that is not filled with peace yet. He gives us a future glimpse of what peace will truly be like in the end. And then the third week, we talked about joy. And the scene of the shepherds in the field at night and the host of angels singing glory to God in the highest and the joy that was seen in heaven and the joy that came to dwell with us that night in that manger. But yet it's incomplete. We, as followers of Christ, have, as the old song says, have that joy deep, deep down in my heart, down in my heart. We know what joy is, but yet we live in a world that is so lost and is so scared and really was more concerned with being happy than what true joy is. But yet, like the other two, joy, we see a glimpse through Christ of something that will be made perfect in the end. And so we come to love. Like the other themes, love was introduced with the birth of Christ to us in a way that humanity had never seen before. Yes, we saw God's act of love throughout the Old Testament, and we see different aspects of it, but Christ's arrival on the scene introduces to us a new type of love that we have not really understood. And so to dive deeper into this subject today, I want to introduce to you the word love and what it really means. And so I'm going to read through a couple of passages fairly quickly. They're just like one or two verses each one. I'm actually going to read through six of them. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the different aspects of love. And then I want to talk about which category you think those verses would fall into. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18, and it says there, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. That's the first one, Proverbs 5. Second one is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Now Romans 12 and 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And 1 Peter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Now, John 3:16 that we read a minute ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And finally, John 13, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we have these six examples of love that I've read to you. So in English, you know, they say English is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn and to master and to speak. But yet oftentimes the English language is so very limited. Because the word that we find in scripture throughout the 500 plus times that I mentioned of love actually is three different words. Do any of you know any of these words? What's one of them?
Agape.
Agape. Yep. What's another one? Filio. What's another one? Eros. Very good. There was a cheat sheet behind my shoulder. Good job. So Eros is the type of love that I read about in a couple of these passages. That is the love that a man has for his wife. A romantic love. Some may call it a sexual love. I think that actually is not a fair estimate of what that word really means. It's really more of a romantic love, a wooing type love. Philia is the love that you share between close friends, between brothers. It's that love that is not romantic, but of the closest friend that you just always want to spend time with. You could almost even say that some people, the love for their pet is kind of a philia love. I hope that's as far as it goes with your little grin on your face. Agape is something quite different. Some people confuse agape with the brotherly love as well, but it's really more than that. It has the sense of the brotherly love, but it's the sacrificial love that we have, the selfless love. So where you may have a certain love for your brother, that is philia, agape would be more like a parent and a child, how a parent feels about their child. They will sacrifice for them. They will give everything for them. They will go to work day in and day out for decades just to provide for the child. That's what agape love really is. And so let's go back through these real quick and touch on these verses again. And you tell me which one of these you think it is. Remember, Eros is romantic. Philia is brotherly love. And agape is sacrificial love. The very first one, the Proverbs 5 one. May your fountain be blessed. And it talks about a loving deer. And may you ever be intoxicated with her love. Eros, right? Very clearly Eros. I'm going to jump around again a little bit. How about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Agape, right. How about also a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What's that? Yeah, it really, the actual word that's used in the Greek is agape here. It does have a little bit of a feeling for philia because he's talking about being bonded like a brotherhood. But he's also talking about that you, when you love someone, you give of yourself. And so you love another person, which is more of that action of doing something for someone as opposed to a feeling. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. What's that? Yeah, actually, that's philia. And I think probably I didn't give you enough context. It's found in Romans. And Paul hardly ever talks about eros because Paul was single and he was never a married person. And so he rarely uses that word. But it is philia. And he's talking about the walk you have with your brothers or your disciples or your friends is to be devoted to one another in that way, as a brother would be devoted to a brother. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Yeah, this was actually eros. It's found in Ecclesiastes. And usually any time that the word love and wife are in the same sentence, it's referring to the romantic type of love. And then finally in 1 Peter chapter 1, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. It is philia. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So I share all this with you because we use love in all of these contexts in the English language, but it gets confusing because we can say, oh, I love that song. Well, is that eros? No. Is it philia? No. Is it agape? No. Actually, it would probably, if we had to use the translation, it would probably be best associated with eros. Because that's the only one that is truly associated with this feeling that you have. This romantic feeling. The other ones are more associated with relationship and action, to where the eros love is this feeling you have of how good you feel when you something. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I know it's kind of weird, but that's the eros love. Because I don't have a brotherly bond with a peanut butter sandwich. And I'm not going to sacrifice. Well, maybe I might sacrifice myself for peanut butter sandwich. I love peanut butter a lot. But no, I mean, so that is the case. I love that I am able to send my daughter to Northwestern. That's agape. Yeah, it's a sacrifice. I love that I get to once a week have lunch with a close dear friend of mine, Ed. It's philia. It's that brotherly bond that he and I share. And I'm probably phrasing those wrong, because whenever you say I love, usually you're putting the emotion into it. But you understand what I'm saying. We confuse things, and we end up going about things in the wrong way. And really, we probably shouldn't use love as much. We shouldn't throw love around as much as we do. We've kind of normalized it. And so it doesn't have the meaning to it. So when you come to a day like today of talking about what love means in the fourth week of Advent, I love my cookie. I mean, the Bible doesn't use love in that way. And so we have to really completely understand what is happening with this. Now, what love do you think Jesus demonstrated to us? Okay. Agape? Yeah. Is that it? What else? He does. And that's really the beauty of it. And I'm going to go somewhere for a minute that may seem a little uncomfortable in our 20 and 23 mindset of the world, but Jesus eroses us. And I know that's weird because that's got the romantic connotation to it. But I want you to think about for a second, who is Jesus? He's the bridegroom, and we are the bride. The church is his bride. And the book of Revelation, at his second coming, is really a marriage event where Christ comes, and you could read it throughout the book of Revelation many times, where he comes to get his bride and redeem his bride. The problem, and the reason that sounds weird, and we say, oh, I don't know that I'm comfortable with talking about a romantic love relationship with Jesus. I mean, that sounds kind of, ugh. But that's what it was meant to be. We have ruined the word eros, or the love, romantic love, in our society because we have sexualized it, because we have made it all about perversions and about all of this stuff, and it has broken the real, true form and plan that God had for humankind of having a spouse, marrying a spouse, and being committed to that spouse in love. That's the type of eros that Christ has with us, of a committed, loving relationship where we will be his bride. And there's a lot of other imagery that I'm not going to go into because it's really a hard conversation to have in just a few minutes, of this romantic imagery of Christ and his bride. And I mean, you look through the book of Song of Psalms or Song of Solomon, there's different names for it. That's almost all eros language in there, if you go read that. And that's meant to be an allegory of our relationship with our Creator. Solomon talks about him and this bride that he's pursuing, but it's really meant to be an analogy between him and his Creator as well. And so, yes, he does display to us philia, especially we see that between him, his relationship with the 12 disciples, but yet the 12 disciples are a model of how we are to follow him as well. And so we have this philia relationship because we are to follow him as a brother. And there is that relationship as God the Father is our Father, Christ is his Son and our King, but yet also our elder brother. And then finally, the agape, of course, that's very easy to see with his sacrifice. And like everything else in Advent, Jesus came and he sacrificed his life. And then he told us, no greater love knows this than a man lay down his life for his friend or his brother, depending on the translation. So he demonstrates so that we can follow. He shows so that we can understand. He gives the example so that we can be that example to the world, all of which points to what he will give and what we will have in the end when we are in his kingdom. And so this idea of love, it's cute because we've turned it into that. And for years, I think the love day of Advent is kind of struggled because of our limited language in English. But love is really the most powerful word of the four words of Advent, because it has the deepest meaning. And when we don't cheapen it with the English translation or the English definition of it, but we really use God's definition of what love is. When we hear the verse now, God is love, it's not, okay, God is love. He just wants to hug us. That's not what it is. It's this deep, sacrificial, committed, yes, romantic word that God established for us so that we can understand who he is. And we can look forward to that relationship we have with him in the end. So in conclusion, we have hope because he showed us hope. We know what peace is because he gave us a glimpse and we wait for its full completion. We see joy through knowing him as he lived his life and we await the overwhelming joy of his second coming. He taught us love and what it means through his acts of love. We love now in part and long for the true complete love that awaits us. So we may say, we hope for the peace that will bring us joy through the many acts of love shown us by our Father and his Son. And it's in his name we all say, amen.